The National Education Association, NEA's, Read Across America is the nation's largest celebration of reading, helping students of all ages connect with diverse, inclusive books that make them feel seen and expand their worlds. America's educators are committed to inspiring a nation of readers, sharing the joy of reading by creating classrooms and communities where every student can access books that make them feel reflected and respected. But right now, access to diverse, age-appropriate books is under attack like never before. The past 4 years have brought an unprecedented number of book bans, 6,870 in the 2024-25 school year alone. NEA's Read Across America celebrates the joy of reading through curated book lists, recommended authors, and ready-to-use resources that help every parent and child find the stories they connect with. Join NEA's Read Across America and celebrate the magic of books. Learn more at readacrossamerica.org. January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Jabari Smith at one point a minus 110 favorite. Then he was a minus 200, then 400, then 5, then 6. Is that how the LeBron clip goes? 7, 8, right? And then all of a sudden, somebody somewhere knew something, and Jabari Smith started to come back the other direction. And now there's no clear favorite. I mean, it's Jabari at minus 145, but DRS, you know well enough from betting all of the drafts that you have bet in your life, minus 145 for the first overall pick means nobody knows anything.
Yeah, which is nice. So you have the top pick, Jabari Smith, minus 145, Chet Holmgren, plus 120. We'll see how that goes, but we talked about it before. Where that steam is coming from this late here typically tells the tale, where maybe Chet Holmgren is serious to be the number one overall pick. Now, there's two questions I have. Number one, will Jabari Smith be the number overall pick? Or number two, why this segment wasn't fit in right before the top of the hour in a nice little, you know, handy-dandy minute and a half to 2 minutes? Answer me that.
Oh, because, I mean, everybody wants your NBA draft takes, analysis, and breakdowns. Now, let's get a little bit from you on Dyson Daniels and Shade and Sharp. What are you going to say? Go ahead.
I'm telling you right now, my eyes just slid right over down that list, and I saw Dyson Daniels the minute you break, the second before you said that, and I was going to bring that up. Like, man, this guy was really good for Santa Clara. I mean, it'd be, you know, big center out there, really shift around the game and, you know, really make an impact here. Dyson Daniels, my pick for rookie of the year, 200-1 out of Santa Clara.
Like, what I love about that Dyson Daniels breakdown is obviously when you're throwing stuff at the wall, you're like, ah, could I run into something that's actually true? Didn't even go to college, and obviously, right? Like, so, I mean, just not even.
I thought I saw him play last year.
Yeah, not even remotely in the ballpark. The other thing, again, that remains very interesting when we talk about this NBA draft, though, is his fourth overall pick. It feels like a real anomaly here, right? So, again, number one's minus 145, Jabari. Chet's minus 145 at number two. Now, Paolo minus 850. You kind of see the vision a little bit there, because everybody does seem to agree, hey, listen, this is a big three class. And we can tell that the top two are the top two, which means Bancaro is going third overall. And that's why I understand that minus 850 number being there. The fourth pick, Jaden Ivey, being minus 420. Now, I'm not saying I disagree with it, but it's very surprising. One, for the fourth pick to be minus 420 is a lot, right? When you consider how uncertain things are around one and two. But it's also the fact that there is no level of certainty around who is going to be drafting at fourth overall. As we bring the radio audience into the fold, we appreciate everybody who's tuning in to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, on the heels of the NBA Finals, talking about the NBA draft. Jaden Ivey is basically a lock to go fourth overall and somehow simultaneously a lock to not be drafted by the Sacramento Kings, who have that pick. Yesterday, DRS, it comes out from Woj, that the Pistons, Pacers, Wizards, and Knicks are all in heavy talks with the Kings. Now, Jaden Ivey is actually, as much as we joke here a little bit, that's a college, you know, that's a draft prospect you know well. Obviously, Purdue is one of the prominent teams this year in college basketball. When you hear those teams, Pistons, Pacers, Wizards, Knicks, which one piques your interest the most as far as a Jaden Ivey landing spot?
I mean, I guess it would be the Knicks, just because they're going to be the lightning rod here. And you hear those rumors kick up. It's like, oh, we can get this guy, the missing piece to win maybe one of our playoff runs. It makes some sense. But more importantly, Kevin, than not, it's the team that's actually picking four currently that's like, you know what? We're going to trade out of this spot and have a commodity. Because the one thing, if you're the Sacramento Kings, you need to look at, because typically when you're trading in and out of the first round or top pick, you say, man, we're making phone calls and nobody really wants this pick. Shouldn't it be an alarm bell for you where so many teams want that pick from you because of a guy that's going to be available? Doesn't that mean for, oh, wait a second here. We got like five teams hot on our heels to get this number four pick. Oh, my goodness. You know who they're going to pick here? Yeah, we don't want that guy. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If you're a bad basketball team, same thing in any sport. The reason why you're drafting that high is because you stink. Take the best player available and build your basketball team. Who are you trading out for? An established veteran to get you into the play-in round? Stop the madness out there, Kings.
And to be honest with you, though, too, like if you really – like they want to make a move to compete. I like De'Aaron Fox. Don't you trade De'Aaron Fox and get a young Jaden Ivey in the building? Keep it, you know, it lessens the salary cap number, obviously, and maybe you can get more back into De'Aaron Fox. I mean, Pistons, Pacers, Wizards, and Knicks. What win now player is coming back in this trade all of a sudden for the Sacramento Kings? I mean, Jerami Grant? They're going to trade with the Pacers again, see if they can get Tyrese Haliburton back? It's a good point. Very, very surprising stuff. More NBA draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
U.S. Open update for you here on the early line. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Rory McIlroy is your favorite at plus 380. Now, Rory was very good yesterday. Well, I don't know, Donnie. Like, that's a runaway and hide number to me when I saw it there. He wasn't the round one leader. Now, he wasn't far off, to be fair. Yeah. He was one shot back of the round one leader. But he was two shots up on John Rahm, who obviously had top three odds with next to, you know, Rory, JT, and then Rahm. A lot of there are still big names in the hunt. If you look at the odds right now, it's Rory, then Rahm, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler as the group of five that are under that 10-1 price. The difference, though, is John Rahm is second at 10-1. Rory is plus 380. I know he came in as the favorite, DRS, but that's a surprising number.
Yeah, it is. I do like some of these odds moves that happen, because we were joking on the air when John Rahm teed off and, you know, parred the first hole. He turned into like the leader, like on the odds board to win, even though guys were like two and three under par. But I'm also taking a look now at some interesting stuff. You know, Matthews, I don't even know how to pronounce this. The leader right now at minus four is Matthews Dafui. And I'm looking on the odds board here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I can't even find the guy. Like, he's leading, and there's no shot that he's even listed here, even though Adam Schenck is 420-1 to lead or to win the Open at this point. So that's one to keep an eye on here to see if they can hang in. But maybe it is, Kevin, as I said over during the break, Rory McIlroy is a shot back here. He's a heavy favorite to win the Open. Look at the guys in the top. David Lingmerth, Calum Tarin, Adam Hadwin, and Matthijs de Fooey, however you pronounce his name at this point here. Is that what we're looking at, saying these guys are three holes away from being plus five and don't worry about it? Rory is really the guy in first place?
Now. There's a couple good things at work here, okay? First of all, right? Now, I'm not great with last names, right? There's a 0% chance I land on de Fooey, right? Duffy? Yes. I feel like it's probably what I would have rocked up with. DeFooey,
can't be a U.
Maybe.
No.
Right? DeFooey is nuts.
Yo, give me here's the E. Yeah, I got to go on YouTube.
Here's the other thing that I love, though, right? Is he is out there, Donnie, on the FanDuel Sportsbook with odds. Now, shout out to the people in the back who can sympathize with OK Dub struggling across some names, though.
Donnie. Oh, no, hold on. His name? I got an issue with this. I got an issue with this name. Yeah, come on now.
His name on FanDuel. MJ.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my pronunciation. MJ Duffy, 65-1.
No way.
Where did he get MJ from? I can't find anything that's
as I'm scanning live on the air, like I'm looking, like, because everybody's got a full name, right? Everybody on this, Twitter, actually, KH too, Lee doesn't. But I'm just scrolling through. I'm like, yeah, I don't see anything this. MJ, as soon as I would see that in this back of my mind, I'm like, it's not the guy's name, so I'll just keep on moving down the list. So MJ de Fooey,
this can't be him.
Is up here on
this. This can't be him. No, this can't. What is this? We got him? Be.
You got a picture of
Don? If you were to type his name in, okay, on Google and get to his Twitter.
Yeah.
Now, hold on.
Don, I see him here.
I mean, this guy looks like a regular old watcher and listener of the early line, if you will.
Nah.
I mean, my guy is not verified. We're under 800 Twitter followers. In the bio, it says chasing PGA Tour status. How'd he sneak into the U.S. Open? What is going on here?
Let me check out his bio. Let me see his bio here. He's from Pretoria, South Africa. He actually went to Lamar, which is, shout out to Southland Conference, man. Shout out. 6'2", 210, 33 years old. Seems like he's in prime position here. MJ de Fooey, which is his true pronunciation, and that's what we're going with.
Hold on. Is there a pronunciation guide there? Is that a shoot or no?
No, there's no pronunciation guide there.
But on his Twitter, it does say MJ.
His first name at?
Well, here's it. No, so it is.
Maddie's?
It is. I was going to say Matthias. Can't believe we're doing a whole segment on my guy Man. Right here, Matthias Duffy.
I mean, you can always go with Maddie at that point, So
no, yes, you can. We know you can make that switch at any point in time. Man, that is a like everyone go follow my guy Matthias Duffy, who is out there giving it his best.
I would love if you got his first and last name wrong. That's tremendous. Like, we're just trying to guess this guy's name on the fly. Probably butcher. Hey, by the way, the leader of the Open, we don't have his first or last name pronunciation correct. Oh, that's great. That is good.
I can't believe. Like, two times on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you know how, Don, have you ever seen this on the FanDuel Sportsbook? Like, they will not use the nickname. Like instead of Sauce Gardner, instead of Ahmad Gardner, like the whole NFL draft process there.
Yes.
Like FanDuel's like, MJ, sure, you got it. Whatever you want us to put there. it makes no difference to us.
What do you think his middle name is? What do you think it is?
John? No, it's got to be something wild, right?
Man.
It's got to be something.
Jonas de Fooey.
Yeah. De Fooey is outrageous. I mean, it
sounds like it's right, though. It sounds like that's exactly the way his parents meant to name him.
There's gonna be some research done, I know for sure, during the commercial break. All right, let me sneak this in here. You want to talk about falling off the rails. Stanley Cup playoff. By the way, I was having a conversation with someone who in earnest was like, this is why I like the Stanley Cup. They'd never take 2 days off in between games like the NBA.
Well, true. Yeah.
Yeah, Donnie. Stanley Cup playoffs are not tonight, by the way. They're Saturday.
No.
They're leaving us hanging on a Friday night. So a tremendous comment that did not hold up one game into the Stanley Cup Finals. Colorado the favorite
night.
Again. Totals of six again. Any thought, interest here within that game that's going to be again once on Saturday between Colorado and Tampa?
I think, you know what's funny about that? You see the six out here, right? And it still seems like it's a high number per, you know, NHL finals where it's usually slow down. Yeah. There's so much talent out there on the ice. Like, how could you legitimately bet that under? Because I know Vasilevsky is a very good goaltender. But when you just look at each one of these teams' lines, 1-3, there's talent all over the place. Like, what would surprise you? Like, 1-0, 2-1? That would surprise me. 5-4 would not surprise me one bit. So I look at that six, and I believe it's priced appropriately here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, at a -110. So it's a true number listed. Do you want to jump in and say, oh, Tampa Bay can't go down 0-2? Why? I just watched them play the New York Rangers and go back 0-2 and still win a series. Is this one of those where you wait one more game and say, you know what? I hope the Avalanche win game number two, because that price is going to be outrageous to win the series for Tampa Bay, even though they're heading back to play on their home ice where maybe they can tie it up at two. That would be my betting approach. I do think Colorado Avalanche overall are the better team, but if you're looking from Tampa Bay standpoint, you're not really counting them out, even if they're down 0-2, because as I said, they just came back against the New York Rangers down 0-2, yeah. But obviously Avalanche a little bit more formidable opponent than the New York Rangers were.
That's the interesting thing is, if you want to bet Tampa, I would, from a series, I would be rooting on the Colorado Avalanche here in game two. Come back on a series spread. You might be able to get Tampa Bay plus 2.5 games, which obviously then they would just need to force a sixth game, which, again, if you're backing Tampa, you would have a lot of trust, confidence, and conviction in. I am very interested by that total. I think it's a really, really interesting number. My early thought would actually maybe be play towards the under. That would be my early thought. I'm also going to be really interested to see kind of how this Vasilevsky save prop works throughout this series. 33.5 looks like it's going to be the number again at -120 towards that over. He got exactly 34. He didn't make a save in overtime. So don't be like, oh, I was propped up by overtime. He didn't make a save in overtime. First shot on net, found the back of the net there. That's one of those props where I want to be following each and every way. I do expect Colorado, though, to win game number two. All right, we pause right here. Quick break coming up. When we come back, Major League Baseball preview. There's going to be a lot of Major League Baseball for people. That's next with you right here on the Early Line on Sportsgrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the Early Line. I think DRS is out on assignment very, very quickly because we're trying to figure out some. Then again, where I'm asking him to find the pronunciation of a guy who basically just came to exist. So I don't know how much luck is really going to be had there. You send up the bat signal if you're going to give up on that. And we're just going to talk baseball.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, all right. That's fair enough. Fair enough.
When you go to YouTube, you look up his name, K-Dub, and it's like nothing comes up under the guy. Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough scene.
This guy's like a creative player. I mean, he snuck out there, Donnie, basically. Yeah. Guy had a free weekend, put his name on a piece of paper. They're like, yeah, why not? We needed to even up anyway. 52 groups. Major League Baseball, I'll ask you this quickly. Did you have any big takeaways from yesterday on the board? The only thing that caught my attention was Trout with a pair of two-run shots while Ohtani was on the mound getting the job done. And just that, you still see why those guys get respect in that MVP market. They really might have already ruined their season, which will be very sad if that ends up being the case. But kind of it was on display once again yesterday why they are going to consistently be considered when we talk about the most valuable players in Major League Baseball.
You're right about that because, you know, Ohtani pitches a good game. That usually gives him a bump. But Mike Trout, one of those guys, and you're right, they're 30 and 35 now, the Los Angeles Angels. So we're hoping they can get into the playoffs because, why, it's fun to see the best players, you know, try to compete for a championship, specifically in a big market like Los Angeles. But at the same time, Trout hit his 18th home run. Like, if we just try to say, all right, Trout will be healthy for the remaining part of this year, not miss any extended time, like more than one IL stint for, let's just say, 6 or 7 days, he's probably going to hit close to, what, 45 home runs this year if he stays hot throughout the summer months. And we look at that and say, yeah, it's not going to be good enough to win the MVP, when in the past it was easily enough to win the MVP for Mike Trout. So you're right about that. Aaron Judge has his work cut out for him. He's performing very well and on the best team in baseball, what, 47-16 now? I guess the New York Yankees are, which is a ridiculous number. He'll get that bump from being on the best team in baseball with Aaron Judge. But you're right. You look in the rearview mirror. Ohtani's only like 2 or 3 games away from having really good pitching performances, and Mike Trout getting hot for a week and bumping up his home run total. They'll be in it for the remainder of the summer.
Yeah, and to me, like, they don't have any argument over – they're not going to have an argument over Judge when they finish under 500 and the Yankees win like 110 games, just when you look at the current pace. But you just see how talented those two are. It starts off with a doubleheader. I see Mr. Adon on the mound, and I see a total of 11 in game number one. It's the Phillies and the Nats. What are the expectations for you today? I almost don't even want to waste my time breaking down any type of Adon strikeout props with the absolute insanity that happened to him last time go around, just getting blasted by the Miami Marlins. I can only imagine it's open season for the Phils. How are you breaking this down?
Yeah, we actually are going to take a look at both games one and game two here. But the common theme for this doubleheader is there isn't a major league pitcher to be on the mound in sight in these two games coming up today. You couple that, Kevin, by 93 degrees at first pitch, 12-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to right field. We're probably going to get some more runs. And quite frankly, even if the Nationals and their terrible lineup doesn't score runs, the Phillies will probably do enough to pick up the slack as they hit double digits yesterday against the Nationals. And you sort of saw this coming, because I talk about this betting point, quite frankly, a lot. Yesterday, you know, the team that's really winning by margin in baseball with like 3 innings to go, a lot of times where it's like a 10-1 or a 10-0, you usually look towards the team that's getting shellacked here as, okay, eventually they're going to score some runs because the other team's not going to throw great bullpen guys. But the same thing occurs on the team that's staying hot, like the Phillies yesterday. And they went from that 9.5 cover to 10 with the late solo home run. And even though, Kevin, the Phillies didn't even score in the 9th inning when the Nationals brought in a position player to pitch, which was quite interesting. Usually you can get them for 2 to 3 runs at a time because you're trying to save your bullpen for a doubleheader that's going to take place today. And again, getting back to the old adage, there's not very good pitching here, starting pitching, and both of these bullpens leave a lot to be desired on a day that's going to be in the mid-90s for both of these games. We should get some runs. So it's one of those, Kevin, leap of faith situations where even if the lineup looks horrendous like it does for the Nationals, you're more likely to bet runs than not here, at least in game one as well.
There could be a fun boost. I mean, they're not going to do it, but if you did something like Phillies total runs over the two games, like 10 or more, like combined runs between two games, 10-plus runs for the Phillies at, you know, whatever you want to make the price there, I think that would be a fun way to get involved there ultimately on Philly. You expect a big day from them. Yeah. Look, the New York Yankees, they're red hot. They've won 14 consecutive home games. They've won 7 games in a row, but they are on the road. And they just swept the Tampa Bay Rays. Toronto's up next for them. So this is the harder part of this Yankees schedule here. I believe they opened as favorites, but they have now shifted to an underdog. So you see on our graphic there, they were minus 112 on the TV side, but they are now a minus 102 price there on the money line. Total here is a 9.5. When you match up Stripling versus Montgomery, how do you line it up?
It's pretty good here. Quite frankly, it's pretty good. There's 29 pitchers on the card today that have at least 20 innings in 2022. So you can sort of analyze what makes sense here. And if we're looking at Ross Stripling, he's 10th on the card today at XFIP minus, and Jordan Montgomery is 11th. So you have two pretty good pitchers coming into today. The reason I picked this game out, because this is one of those fascinating ones we'll see. Two really good baseball teams going head-to-head. Two pitchers based on the talent levels and what they're performing to in 2022 have been pretty good. But I always get excited here when you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, similar to what we saw a couple days ago going up against a lefty. This entire lineup looks really good. If we're looking at just ISO power numbers of the first 7 guys in this lineup today for the Toronto Blue Jays, 237, 211, 375, 146, which is a low point, 240, 255, and 243, which is sensational, Kevin. If we then look at the weighted on base percentages here of the Toronto Blue Jays in 2022, the way they set up against left-handed pitching, how about this? 9 guys in the lineup today, 8 of them at 325 or higher, with the majority of those guys in the 3 and 4 range here. So if you're Jordan Montgomery and you're having those very good starts here to your 2022 season, you're going to be tested tonight in Toronto. Now, if we take a look, it is a dome in Toronto. So they're not going to give me any exact updates. But a lot of the times, I assume on the East Coast, you're having warmer weather. You keep that dome open up there. You know, you get that 75 to 80 degrees and that heat humidity creeps in. Two powerful lineups today. Even though you have two good pitchers, if you're seeing, if we have that graph again, not yet 9.5. I was actually surprised, Kevin, to see it as high as 9.5 with these two guys on the mound and the way, quite frankly, the Yankees can really shut teams down. But that just lets you know about how talented these offenses are, where you're going to need 10 runs in this game combined to cash in that total ticket. And I actually think they can get there.
You know what is funny, though? It did just move to a flat 9. Minus 122 to the over, but you can see that that game is moving around a little bit. Could be a spot to go back to some hitter prop parlays. Bo Bichette, DJ LeMahieu, both with good numbers against the respective starters there. Bo Bichette, again, from the historic perspective of what he's done against Jordan Montgomery, 2+ bases, if you are so inclined to be involved in that market. That number early on Bo Bichette is minus 110, so you can see kind of for a reason. Rangers-Tigers makes the card. Now, if Rangers-Tigers makes the card, it's for a reason. Because it's not as if this is, you know, the best game on the slate. What could be going on here that we've got Skubal and Gray worth the mention?
We see that 7.5. He's saying, oh, hold on. And the Rangers never have good pitchers. The Tigers don't either. Sooner or later, these lineups who don't care, they're playing. And quite frankly, today, you see the 7.5, Kevin? It's an outdoor game. And I was looking at the forecast here a little bit earlier, if I can bring it up again. Oh, yeah, 80 degrees, 17-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to dead center field here in Detroit. Optimum scoring conditions. But sometimes you hear this, you know, terminology and some fun that you see on Twitter. Like, oh, man, see the scorecard in that game? Hang it in the Louvre. Well, you know what you want to hang in the Louvre for this one? The lineup for the Detroit Tigers as they go up against Gray. Gray hasn't been that great this year, but he does have some pretty good weighted on base percentage numbers of .274 to lefties. He's a right-handed pitcher, so that's very good. And to righties, a .311, which is about average. If we're looking at Gray on a scale of, hey, how does he stack up against those 29 pitchers that I have rated today? We talked about Ross Stripling in the 10 hole in the previous game, Jordan Montgomery in the 11 hole. How about John Gray in the 12 hole here? So not bad. But the crux of the argument and why we like the under, so I can't even believe it. Like, how do I like the under 7.5 in this game with great hitting conditions with two teams that technically struggle on the mound? It's because of what you're getting out of the Detroit Tigers here on offense. If we're looking, again, let's play the game, Kevin, ready? You'll like this one. ISO power numbers of the 9 batters anticipated to be in the lineup today. How many are above a 175?
I will not get fooled by this anymore. 0.
Yeah. 0 is correct. All right. So you got that one out of the way. Now, this might be a little bit more tricky. Weighted on base percentage of 325 or higher, which is that plateau you want to be at. Anything above 325 is very good. Anything below it, you're below average. So I'm going to ask you the same question. Detroit Tigers, weighted on base percentage versus righties this season with the anticipated 9 in the lineup today. How many do we have above that 325?
Someone had to sneak in there, like 1. I'll give you 1.
0. So the way we look at this, you have 18 categories with these players between ISO and weighted on base percentage. 18. They're 0 for 18. And we're not talking about, Kevin, like 0 for 8, like, oh, they don't have anybody that excels. No. Every single batter in this lineup stinks. So I can't take the over. Even though I want two bad baseball teams, great weather, blowing out the dead center field. Like, sign me up. Like, 8-4-4 each side. Somebody runs away with it. It makes some sense. Their lineup is so bad that I can't take it. And it disappoints me today on a Friday.
If it makes you feel any better, the numbers moved up to 8. So
all right,
you get a little bit more juice if you're trying to go towards that under. I actually could find myself, though, you talk about under in this game, Tarik Skubal. At that 6.5, it might be just a tick too high. That minus 112 juice is manageable when you're talking about an under strikeout prop. Texas, they do strike out, but not an insane amount. You look through the last Skubal starts again, if you prefer kind of the trend betting aspect there. Only once has he been over 6.5 strikeouts in his last 5 starts as well. So that could be a nice spot. If you want to get in, I would suggest you get involved early on that Tarik Skubal prop. When we come back, the NBA season is over. What does that mean? Football Friday. We'll be right back here on the air.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Friday. Why? Why not? I mean, look, the NBA season is over. And, yeah, baseball's going to pick up the slack, and maybe we'll talk a little more golf, and we've got the Stanley Cup Finals. But everybody loves the NFL. Everybody loves the NFL. And DRS, I picked out four games for us to talk about today. Week one NFL lines that I think can provide some tremendous intrigue. And why not start at the top of the ladder? Game number one of the NFL season, the Los Angeles Rams and the Buffalo Bills. Now, we can take this any direction we want. I'm not going to ask you for a pick on who's going to win the game. If you have one, though,
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. But I guess we could start with this, Donnie. Game number one of the NFL season is Rams-Bills, of course, in L.A. as the defending Super Bowl champs. They are a one-point home underdog, totals 51.5. You see this game. What are the first thoughts that come to your mind?
Reading the line, the amount of respect that the Buffalo Bills are getting here against the world champion Rams in their own building with basically their entire team back and an added wide receiver. And you say to yourself, how can that actually be? Well, I'll tell you why that is, Kevin, because the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL heading into the 2022 season. And quite frankly, the only thing that I look at this first and say, why aren't the Bills, Kevin, a 6.5-point favorite over the Rams in their own building to open up the series? Well, man, obviously, that's not going to happen here. But I do agree with the Buffalo Bills being competitive in this game. But I am a little bit surprised that the Bills are a -1 favorite here over the Rams to open the season next year. Are we expecting like a layover? Like, oh, Matthew Stafford, you know, a little bit late to get to training camp and these guys aren't focused and ready. I guess that's the only advantage that you would have, because that's a really good Rams team that's going to be playing as defending champions to open the season on their own field.
It's a horrible number and it's not going to close there. Do you want my early thoughts? It's not closing there. There's no... Donnie, we do home field math. They would be laying 6 points to the Rams in Buffalo.
Yes.
Maybe Hammer. 7. You're out of your mind. Not in any way, shape, or form. There's nobody that is getting more respect that they have not earned than the Buffalo. Donnie, the Bills won the title last year and I missed it. I mean, honestly,
they should have.
Like,
if I go back, I think they did.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that's what a lot of people are thinking as well here. I mean, this is a horrific number. Donnie, did Matthew Stafford actually retire? Did Sean McVay retire? Did Aaron Donald retire? Did Von Miller win Super Bowl MVP? What is this number here? I mean, this 2.5 LA. Donnie, if this was 2.5 LA Rams, there's nobody batting an eye. There's nobody out there going, to disrespect the Buffalo. Be like, yeah, it makes about sense.
Yeah.
Seems about right. Like, the number is ludicrous here when you lie. And you might be like, oh, come on, it's pick. It's in LA. It's in Los Angeles. Do you, honestly, early expectation, does this close as the Rams favored in the football game?
I mean, I guess outside of, you know, devastating injury in the offseason, if everybody gets there lined up, that's a sharp number they posted. And typically when you see those numbers, I mean, again, the easiest numbers to flip that we see in professional sports are -1 to +1, right? Ooh, -1 here, +1 there. I would not be surprised that the Rams do close as a favorite if everybody does get there healthy. But it also just goes to show you a sign of the times of how the odds makers are going to be pricing the Buffalo Bills and what they think of the Buffalo Bills heading into 2022. If they finish a favorite, game one, trophy night celebration in L.A. with the Super Bowl champs completely healthy, revved and rolling, ready to go in 2022, and the Bills are still the favorite, that tells you something.
Look, I would be I'd be very surprised if it closed in this direction. We'll see, but I would be pretty surprised. Somehow, we're going to be breaking down a game where it's Buffalo -2.5 in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
When we get here in September. Now, the next game, truthfully, it was as if, like, you know, you ever play beer pong, Donnie, you get the celeb shots, you let your buddy come in, take one for you. It's as if they gave Donnie a celeb shot on making the NFL schedule, and they let him put together Panthers-Browns. This is unbelievable here. That, I mean, we need Baker on Carolina. Because whether it's Watson, Brissett, it doesn't matter who's on the Cleveland side. Donnie, this is a Carolina home game with Baker Mayfield against the Cleveland Browns. It's sneaky game of the week.
You're right. And that the question that's posing right now is, this isn't a line expecting Deshaun Watson to be the game one starter. You're telling me today, if we get clearance from the NFL goes, you know what? We made a decision as an organization. We left it up to the Cleveland Browns for the time being, but we're not going to suspend Deshaun Watson or make anything final until every lawsuit is done or they went through the court system and there's been charges brought against him. That line would not be 3. What's that line? 5.5 or 6 if we get confirmed Deshaun Watson in? Because also, it's not confirmed that Baker Mayfield's going to go to the Panthers and be a very good quarterback. So I'm led to believe that this is the line anticipated Deshaun Watson will not be a game one starter for the Cleveland Browns. And if he's not, I got to tell you, I like the Carolina Panthers +3 early. Even though how much the talent level, the disparity is clearly on Cleveland's side. But you're not telling me game one on the road. I'm like, yeah, man, Jacoby Brissett, 37 passes, completed 31 of them, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns. No. That's not happening here. This is going to be a ground and pound opening day, probably played in 85-degree weather down in Carolina. I'll take the points because I don't think Deshaun's going to be there. But quite frankly, I don't think that number of -3 is actually believing that he is going to be there. So if it's Jacoby Brissett, give me the Panthers in this game.
Oh, so you think if Brissett's the quarterback, it's still -3?
That's it. I think that is the line if Jacoby Brissett. There's no, put it this way right now. If the NFL called me up to the Donnie Wright side, I know you guys are doing a live show right now, early line. We watch you guys all the time. Fantastic stuff you do. By the way, Deshaun Watson's going to play in game one. I would hammer the Cleveland Browns into, what does Mike Tyson say, oblivion or that, right? I mean, I would, there's no way it would be 3. Deshaun's playing, there's no way it's 3. Absolutely not.
Interesting.
Bolivian. There you go.
Interesting. I don't know about that. If it is Watson, I think it goes higher. But I don't think we're talking about 6, 7, 4.5. Okay. 4.5. Like, if this is Brissett versus Baker, I think you might flip the Carolina as the favorite in the football game. Now, I'm not telling you Carolina's going to be laying a huge number, but I think the Panthers very well could end up being a favorite in it. You don't think? But Donnie, you're saying you're going to bet the Panthers.
I think that is the line. I think that is the line right there. I do.
It's a bad line. A lot of bad week one lines, folks. A lot of bad week one lines, according to this eye. I don't know about that.
I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. You see this line -3. DRS doesn't put out any plays in the first two. DRS has some fun. You know, I use the third priority here. You know, get it out there. Work it. Game. By the time third week comes around, we're ready for business. Deshaun Watson is the game one starter for the Cleveland Browns. That line is 3. I'm telling you right now. Right now, you find this tape. This is going to be a play of the week for Donnie Wright's side.
Will it be a team total, or are you going to all of a sudden throw everything out the window?
I might do it all the way around. We might go all the way around. Yeah, we might go first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, money line, parlays, round robins.
Over touchdown passes.
Everything, Cleveland Browns. Exactly. Everything. Now, you name it.
But to be honest with you, Don, if this is Watson versus Baker, again, it's game of the week.
Tremendous.
It's game of the week. Like I know the Cowboys are out there playing up against the Tampa Bay Bucs. I know there's good games out there. Watson versus Baker, that's game of the week. Now,
my only wish is that this game was in Cleveland. Uh-huh. My goodness. Baker starting game one in Cleveland, going up against the guy who's replacing him. Storylines would be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Progressive Insurance, whatever. What commercials would they have for this one? Be tremendous stuff.
Yeah. Geico would get in the mix, right, if they could, probably. Now, this next game makes the slate. I'll be honest with you. It's purely for the slander. Niners-Bears. 6.5. I mean, who's...
Yeah.
Who's quarterback in that 6.5? I can't believe I'm going to be betting the Bears week one. I can't. Donnie, with Trey Lance. Donnie, you're laying a touchdown with Trey Lance week one on the road. couldn't be me. I think I'd rather it if it was Jimmy. What are you doing with this line?
No, I'm just like, the 6.5 seems a little bit, you know, outlandish at this point, as if they're just going to step. Like, Debo, I guess, is going to be, you know, game one starter, happy and ready to go, full participant. I understand that. Trey Lance, who, again, I don't know why I'm not hearing enough out of, like, even fake plants for the 49ers going, look, this guy is Mahomes and Elway mixed into one player. Wait till you see him. Like, even if I'm lying, I would be leaking that information out to try to boost his confidence here. But I look at the price point here, the 6.5, and say, that's a little bit high. But I look at the 42, and I say to myself, two running quarterbacks that don't really have the propensity to say, hey, look at my record here in the NFL throwing the forward pass. This game screams an under where it's like, first guy to make a mistake loses. I like the under 42 here as we sit in the month of June.
Oh, how about that? Give me like the defensive touchdown prop, right? Like over interception.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sacks.
I'm pretty sure that if this is Garoppolo, I will pick the Niners, and if this is Trey Lance, I will pick the Bears. And all I ever do is slander Garoppolo. What do we do if Trey Lance is awesome? Like, were the Niners beat reporters keeping it hush, or they could get futures down or something?
Yes.
What is exactly. going on here with Trey
Kyle
Lance?
Shanahan is going to like unleash the lion in like game one. And we're like, whoa, like, you know, 20 of 25 for like 340, yeah. Two touchdowns, $160 on the ground, just unleashing the kids saying, we knew it was here all along. We just didn't want to fool you idiots out here. Maybe that would be the case. We'd have to own up to it. But the one thing that's always been slanderful and fun is Jimmy Garoppolo is not worth anything on the trade market, and man, did they whiff on Trey Lance. That's been the two constants.
Here's the other thing, though, that's going to be pretty good. When we're breaking down a game that neither quarterback has a yardage prop over 200.
Yes.
Somehow we're going to be betting the 504, and I mean, what is this game, a 302? And it's still probably not going to cross the finish line there.
My goodness.
Let me sneak in one more tremendous football game. Tremendous game here. Now, Seattle, Denver. Russell Wilson's first game as the Denver Broncos in Seattle. Like, the NFL schedule, man, no easing into it. We want the drama right away.
Yes.
Who is not picking the Denver Broncos? Drew Locke, Geno Smith, Jimmy Garoppolo, who is not back in Denver here to open up the season?
I guess if we can ask a question, which game is going to be the most publicly tilted side of the week? Doesn't it have to be this one? Like, Geno Smith's coming out, all right. Drew Locke's coming out, but you have the Denver Broncos full gas with Russ going, hey, Pete, you never really wanted to see me throw the football. How about this, pal? Like, it's just setting up for that. Like, they don't have the team totals out yet, but a Denver Broncos team total here and just a whitewashing of the Seattle Seahawks seems like, in effect, and I guess the public would be 90% of the tickets lining up here on the Denver Broncos.
I think, by the way, just like doing the math on it, that Denver team total is like 24.5. Yeah.
Get to 23.
I mean, who plays defense for the Seattle Seahawks? Yeah.
Nobody.
Donnie's going to have week one plays. And that's why we did Football Friday. Because no matter what time of the calendar we are at, it is always great stuff. Listen up, Don. He'll send you off into the week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the week right here on the Early Line. SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. As usual, 7 to 9 a.m. heats it up here on the grid as myself and also Kevin Walsh carry you through to the morning after, which starts off the rest of your Sports Grid day here. And hopefully it's a pretty good Friday here. Now, look, we're going to put a bow on the NBA season. It's done. It's final. We won't see NBA basketball till what? Next October? What a season it was. The Boston Celtics couldn't finish off the Warriors. The Warriors take another crown here. But I do want to talk. It is a Football Friday here on the networks. Why not? Let's make it happen. Listen up. Hey, quiet. Everybody wants to get paid in the NFL, and quarterback Lamar Jackson is no different than anybody else. Look at the contracts flying around. Deshaun Watson, who we don't even know if he's going to be playing in the 2022 season, guaranteed money, what, close to $250 million. Patrick Mahomes, not too long in the past, signed a contract worth up to $500 million. So you look back at Lamar Jackson, MVP caliber player, means so much to the Baltimore Ravens. He does not have a contract yet, and he played his cards absolutely perfectly to get to this point. Because while he's making bank here, he still holds all those cards, maybe an ace up his sleeve, and we're sure that he probably wants between $40 and $50 million a year with just about that entire contract being guaranteed. And he has every right to ask for that with based on just what we saw for Deshaun Watson here. So typically we see Lamar Jackson show up happy-go-lucky to the Ravens over the past couple of years, even though his contract was still in limbo. Franchise tags, no franchise tags. Are you going to play out the rest of your contract? Always showing up ready to go. But now it looks like he's putting a little bit more pressure on the Baltimore Ravens, saying, you know what? There's no guarantee I'll show up for day one of training camp. And even further, there's no guarantee that I'm even going to show up for opening day. I want to get paid. And he does deserve to get paid. Baltimore Ravens, open up the cash register. It's time for Lamar Jackson to get that paper. Guys, make sure you stay tuned right now to the morning after coming up over the next few hours right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It scuffs, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.